This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. And today, or tonight, we're wearing our sunglasses. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And we're talking about Blade.
Yeah, I think...
From 1998?
98, yeah.
Yeah, I did it.
Vampires wearing glasses at night, nothing new. But when you think about vampires wearing sunglasses, Blade is the first one that comes to mind, right?
It's kind of weird how many.
Every single one of them.
Like, while we were watching this, I was like, wow, vampires really do wear sunglasses
all the fucking time.
All of them.
Throw a dart into the vampire section of your own DVD collection. You will hit a vampire movie where somebody wears sunglasses.
Like, if they're not in a Victorian outfit, they're wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, even that Dracula wore sunglasses in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Now, oh, yeah, they were cool ones.
During the day.
They so, were quite steampunk.
It made total sense. But even, like, the weird hipster vampire movies, like Only Lovers Left Alive.
Sunglasses.
Tilda Swinton wearing sunglasses. I mean, it's a look. It looks great.
Vampires, it's great because, I mean, it's sun safe. They got to avoid those UVA and UVB rays. You know, they need a full multi-spectrum coverage.
Uh-huh.
Also, vampires normally have fucking cool contact lenses, so we got to hide that we're not human and we're super pretty.
And we're super pretty.
It makes sense.
The other cool thing about Blade is that these sunglasses with vampires, usually just a fun accessory. Like, oh, how kooky, because they're out at night and even nighttime is too bright for them. Ha 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 ha. But with Blade...
Are you trying to make it that he's not just wearing it to be cool because he's just wearing it to be cool?
I don't know if he's just wearing it to be cool.
He's just wearing it to be cool.
I guess it's to be cool.
And
but
he's
like,
pretty cool.
But it's like, even going into like the final fight sequence, we're like, well, he's got all his guns. He's got his cool katana. Tana Blade, but doesn't have his sunglasses yet, so the outfit's not complete. Like, there's a whole, like, hey, think you forgot these? Or, like, he's been chained up, and they're draining him of his blood, but it isn't until he gets his sunglasses back that he's ready to kick ass.
I think that's in the second one.
Ah, who cares? We watched both Blade movies last night. We're gonna try and contain the conversation to just Blade, number one. But goddamn, what a great sequel Guillermo del Toro did. Okay, so... Three good things about Blade from 1998. Number one, muscle cars, right? Muscle cars and shotguns.
Well, like, if you're going to do muscle cars, you also have to put the motorcycle in there.
Cars, motorcycles, shotguns.
Yeah, I'm not giving vehicles two good things.
This is just the most badass CrossFit vampire hunter you've ever met in your entire life. He lives in a boiler room. He's surrounded by cool ass equipment, and he's just going.
It's like an auto body shop. Like, he lives in the like the illegal area from Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes. Yeah, I think I read somewhere on Wikipedia that it's an old shampoo factory. But
that's fun.
What's good thing number two?
Can I be lame and say friendship?
Friendship.
Yeah.
Between him and Whistler.
Everybody!
Between everybody. The friendship. The number one thing I think of when I think of Blade.
Well, so Blade, he's so cool and he's cold and he's like, I don't want to be a vampire. I have no heart.
Yeah.
I
have no BFFs in this world.
I'm so icy, frosty, cold. But then Kris Kristofferson comes along and he's like, let's hold hands while we suffer. It's great. When he shoots him up with his I don't want to eat human serum, and he's like, oh, it's painful, it hurts so bad. And Chris Kristofferson is like, got you, brother.
I got you, brother. Okay, all right, fine. Friendship is number two, but I'm going to put a little caveat on that and just say, like, really cool old man Renfield. How about that? Like,
that's friendship.
Friendship. Number three. Good thing number three. Vampires turn into exploding blood bags, right?
I was surprised at how silly some of the designs are in this movie. And let me say pleasantly surprised. I was pleasantly surprised at all of the bubbling and goopy explodiness.
This movie goes for it.
It does.
I mean, it's very 1998, sure. But I think it does a great job of being an action movie that's palatable for the average viewer, and also just having a whole bunch of like gory, gross vampire massacre nonsense. And it is nonsense.
No, it's definitely cheese, and I enjoy every moment of it.
Oh, yeah. If this is what superhero movies were always like, I'd be watching more of them.
Well, I mean, you say that, but, like, vampires? Like, the intro to us watching a superhero movie is like, oh, it's about vampires? Okay, we're coming.
Yeah, we're one of, like, three people in our city that bought a ticket to Morbius. Just because they're like, ah, well, it's a vampire. We gotta go check it out.
Opening weekend. Like, no, I don't care, but he does turn into bats, so I'm there?
So, actually, fun fact, before we toss the trailer here, did you know that...
He was bit by Morbius in the comic? Book? Oh yeah, I did. I read that. I did read some things, and I read that thing.
You better wake up. The world you live in is just a sugar-coated topper. There is another world beneath it. The real world.
For thousands of years, they have existed among us.
You keep your eyes open. They're everywhere. Chances are you've seen them yourself and didn't know it.
A secret nation.
Our livelihood depends on our ability to blend in.
With a lust for power.
We should be ruling the humans. These people are our food.
They've got their claws into everything. Politics, finance, real estate.
There's a war going on out there.
He makes the weapons. I use them.
Now, one will lead them to conquer mankind.
Tonight, the age of man comes to an end.
We're gonna be gods.
And one will try to stop him dead.
There are worse things out tonight than vampires.
Like what?
Like me.
Half human.
Blade's mother was attacked by a vampire while she was pregnant.
Half immortal.
You got the best of both worlds. All our strengths, none of our weaknesses.
He is their greatest fear and our only hope.
It's open season on all vampires.
Wesley Snipes. Stephen Dorff.
You're one of them, aren't you?
No, I'm something else.
Blade is currently sitting at a 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 59% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's critically, though.
And a 3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Now, the audience rating is 78%, which is a little bit better. Man, this movie was such a fucking hit when it came out. Do you remember when it came out? Like, was this something that you were aware of when it came by?
No, I wasn't into, like, action movies because I was, like, a 9-year-old. I just watched it for the first time for this podcast. This is the first time I had experienced Blade. And it was, one, a mistake. Two, great.
Oh, a mistake that you waited this long.
Exactly.
Okay. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, okay, yeah. Like, as a 9-year-old girl, like, not exactly, like, mandatory watching for you, but, like, as a boy, when this movie came out, it was like, holy fucking shit, this is the greatest.
No, it's way better than I was anticipating.
I'm glad
as an action film, it is very well done.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised at, one, the number of hand-to-hand combat scenes, like all of the choreography and stuff, but just how good they are.
Oh yeah,
they're so good.
Wesley Snipes can fight. Like, that's
he's
the coolest thing.
So good.
Yeah, when
like,
I was,
did he do karate his whole entire life?
Yes, he did.
Okay, I was like, he's so nimble.
Don't you remember Demolition Man?
No.
A movie you also watched for the first time over the summer?
I have forgotten it. I remember him being cool in it.
Okay, so when I was growing up, there were a handful of people that no matter what movie they were in, I was going to watch it. Obviously, it was Jackie Chan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Wesley Snipes. Like, those were my guys when I was growing up.
That's the Mount Rushmore of action films.
Oh, yeah. For a 90s kid, absolutely.
The Mount Rushmore of I do my own stunts.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like I'm only going to watch the action movies. Like, I'm also watching, like, White Man Can't Jump. Like, anything that Wesley Snipes is in, I am fucking watching it. And it was also partly because TBS would play a lot of Wesley Snipes. Like, Passenger 57, I've seen that movie like 100,000 times now.
And Jackie Chan. They really like Jackie Chan.
Yeah, and we were all better for it. It really shaped a generation. So when Blade came out, it was such a huge hit. And I think as an adult, this movie probably hit even harder. Because as a kid, you're just like, oh, this is just what movies are. But I think I didn't necessarily see how different of a type of movie it was. It's fun to watch it now, knowing that The Matrix is only like a year away, because they feel like they are coming out of the same universe, right?
There was a weird, like, the end of the 90s, like, I'd say from, like, 97 to 2000, maybe it's because everybody was getting Y2K fever, where everything was, oh, we're so future and we're so advanced. And now we look at it and we're just like, wow, look at that 90s spiky hairstyle.
I go, wow, you had a laptop? Okay.
Woo. But like the music was really techno-y.
Fuck yeah.
And like those EDM beats were so bopping. But like, yeah, like everything was very Hackers. Like everything can go under the Hackers umbrella.
Okay, that's the movie that changed everything. It was Hackers.
And especially too, like even in this, we're doing like computer renderings where we're going into like a computer design and the computer has visualized real space.
It's like Halloween 6, right? Where they're trying to find the runes of whatever the fuck.
We're going through it. But I just love the visualization of like, this is the database and we're literally walking through it. That's such a 90s thing, like where the computers visualize actual literal space for humans to understand how databases could look.
Oh yeah, it's like even Jurassic Park's bad for it, right? It's just like each of these file folders is like a building that you have to go into.
Yes,
like, and that the hacking scene in Jurassic Park looks like she's going through storage lockers.
Yes, like if hacking actually looked like that, it wouldn't be four people who could do
it. Yeah, everybody would do it.
You're like, oh, I just have to go into one of the closets.
Yeah, that's where all the access codes are. No problem.
Just bring a coat hanger with you and you jiggle jiggle and there you go. Everybody's passwords.
Yeah. Yeah. The other 90s bit of all of it is the nightclub sequences. Like the vampire nightclub sequences.
I wasn't even surprised. I was like, of course there is.
Of course this is where we are. Yeah. And we've got the fucking like bloodbath, blood shower. Yeah, just when it drops, like everybody's peeking and then the fucking beat drops and the blood fucking flows out.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Oh god, I love it.
And also Tracy Lords, and she looked great with red vampire hair.
Yeah, you were so stoked when Tracy Lords showed up.
I was really sad because I knew that it was going to be not for long. It was, you were here for a good time, not a long time, and
yeah, they could have kept her around.
I was just hoping. Should have been the girlfriend.
You recognized her immediately. Like, you were like, is that Tracy Lords? And then the Tracy Lords card came up. You're like, starring Tracy Lords. You were miles ahead. That's been a fun, surprising thing about you. You could pick Tracy Lords out of a Where's Waldo page.
Even when she doesn't have bangs, which is a real testament to my love of Tracy Lords.
I love that we got humans in the vampire club because we need somebody to be scared. Just like seeing everybody get like doused in blood. Like,
I like that they bring them and then don't eat them right
immediately
away. Like she brings them and then she's like, you're boring, I'm gonna go dance with her, and then they wait until he's scared. It's just like, y'all are playing with your food and I'm about it.
And that's also what makes the intro for Blade so fucking good, right? Like, because we've got this human who's terrified, who's covered in blood, he's starting to see everybody take their fangs out, he's crawling for the exit, and he comes across somebody not covered in blood, and he's just a badass fucker in like camo, and he's covered in ammo, he's wearing a black trench coat, and he's just ready to fuck shit up. Blade's so cool. Like, that's just what it comes to. He's got the coolest fucking haircut as well. Like, I don't know. Whistler's obviously cutting his hair for him. And, like, beyond making great weapons, he's also a good barber. Like, his head is sculpted.
It is kind of weird, though, that our first introduction to him is in, like, a vampire club, because I feel like that's kind of beneath him. I know that he's, like, on a hunt for, like, a main vampire, and he's following the leads, but seeing him in the club, I'm like, you're too cool for this.
But he kills everybody. Yeah, like, he kills, like, 100 people.
Yeah, I guess that's
he's
true.
The guy for this.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
His whole thing is that he's just, like, hunting out hangouts for vampires, hoping to get Deacon. And from what I understand, too, this is one of Deacon's clubs.
So, who's Deacon? Oh, Frost.
Deacon Frost, yeah. So I think he's supposed to be, like, a priest. Like, he's a deacon. Wait, what are deacons? Are deacons part of, like, the church?
I think so.
Oof, I don't know nothing about the church. It's a moniker.
It might just be his first name.
I think he was a actual deacon in the comic books, but they dropped it. They're like, it's just a good name. It's such a good name that we'll reuse it again in a comedy spoof about vampires, which Blade makes an appearance in. Don't you love that Blade exists in the same world as what we do in The Shadows?
Oh, he was part of, like, the Vampire Council,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was. I think he zoomed in. Yeah, I think this is a club that Deacon owns, that Frost owns, and he's just trying to piss him off. Like, he's trying to drive him out. I think his hope is that he'll find Frost at the club, but he's just going to keep fucking with the money until Frost shows up, is kind of the idea.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So, like, I had issues with Frost as, like, the big bad,
mm-hmm.
because this movie is really, like, in terms of its stance on vampire lore, it is leaning hard on this, like, pure blood, not pure blood thing.
They
like,
always do this.
You gotta be born a vampire, and you're just like, okay, well, we need to explain how this works, because aren't you guys dead? Like, how is that working?
They mention it at some point, where it's just like, you just age slower.
Yeah. So they're cool-ass humans.
Yeah, so to get to, like,
they have reproductive organs that work.
Yeah, to get to Udo Kier's age, because Udo Kier, a pure blood, on the council, he's got to be, like, 800 years old.
Oh, yeah, likely.
Yeah.
And he's got such a wise talking voice.
Don't you think that would suck, though? Like, we talk about the terrible twos. Like, do the terrible twos last 20
years? Well, I
years?
Think Frost is in the terrible twos. Like, he's like an 80-year-old vampire, and he's a douche.
I like to think of him like a early Mark Zuckerberg. Like, he's just like the...
He started Facebook for vampires?
He's just a tech bro as far as the vampires go. Like, he's here to disrupt the vampire system, you know? He's like, ooh, the old guard. They think they know everything, but I'm a new kid on the block, and
but,
I'm
like,
telling you this is how it is.
For how much the Vampire Council of this movie talks down to him, it's weird that he has access, like that he's even at the building where the Vampire Council meets. It's like he's the leader of the bitten vampires.
Well, that's what, so this is the other reason why I like to think of him as a Mark Zuckerberg, because I think he's new money, you know? Like, I think that's how
see,
I look
when
at
you
all
say
of
it like that, I get it. It's just like, I'm here to buy Twitter and name it X, and everybody's gonna still call it Twitter, like.
Yeah,
I see what you mean in that regard, but it's just weird for how much they look down on bitten vampires. You'd think they wouldn't have any form of power. Like, they wouldn't be at those tables. They wouldn't be communicating with the hoity-toity purebloods.
Unless they had money.
Yeah,
I think it's just money. I think he's just hella rich.
Well, I needed somebody to show me. Where
he's got a fucking penthouse apartment with an infinity pool on the rooftop
and a coffin bed that's really fucking
oh
cool.
That fucking coffin bed. I would get that coffin bed now.
That coffin bed was not 1998. That coffin bed was 2250.
Yeah.
How are we going to say the year 2250?
You know what?
Are we still going to call it the 50s? Are we just going to keep going with decades?
I think we're not going to have to worry about
it. We might. You never know.
Oh, because, like, the first human to live to 300 has already been born. It
you
might
know,
be us.
If we alter our genome or, you know, clone
start
our...
Start eating flaxseed.
Spores or...
You know, one of the three of those things is going to be what helps us live to 300.
Or we become a teenage vampire.
Oh, man. Yeah. At this point, would you say no?
No, I'd say yeah.
Yeah?
To find out.
Just to find...
And you can always
suicide.
Go back.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always an eject button.
There's always the sun. Until there isn't.
Oh, God. Okay. Man, that's the movie, right? Okay, well, maybe we shouldn't be pitching new movies in a review episode.
You'd think
the
vampires would be
movie.
Really big environmentalists.
To keep the sun around?
To protect the Earth.
Because without the Earth, there's no humans, and without the humans, there's no food?
No, just that they're going to be here forever, and humans are like the definition of fucking things up and not sticking around to find out.
Okay, that's a fun idea.
Maybe that's the real vendetta. They eat humans because humans are shit to the planet.
Oh, like they're the Dexters? Like, oh, we only eat people who leave a big carbon footprint?
Taylor Swift is first.
Yeah, she's got to know.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so how do you feel about Blade being half vampire, half human? Like, do you think that's a fun little wrinkle?
Yeah, no, I think that's maybe the coolest thing about the movie. Sure, it's a little cheesy that it's like he's got all of the assets of vampires and none of the setbacks. And you're like, well, that's convenient.
I'll tell you what's convenient is the end of the movie. We're like, there's this ticking clock. We're like, oh, the serum's not working anymore. But by the end of the movie, he's like, oh, I'm back, baby. No serum. I'm good.
Yeah, and once he drank love interest's blood,
yes,
I thought that meant he was going to become like full vampire. And it didn't change anything. It just made him not sleepy anymore.
Yeah, he just went like berserker mode for a little while, and afterward he's like, and now with all of the problems solved, I will go off into the future where there will definitely be more sequels that won't answer that problem.
This is no longer a problem. But yeah, so about him being a like half vampire, half human, like 1 foot in the grave and 1 foot in the daylight or whatever. Stop, you're being patronizing.
I'm trying to pretend like we're scholars. I'm like, yes, no, of course.
No, but I think it's like super, super poetic, yo. It's very Shakespeare, a la Shakespeare, because he's this tortured hero. The reason why he's killing vampires is because he hates himself. And like, he hates what he is. And it's got that, you know, tortured soul aspect to it. He's a very, you know, he's a very sad boy. He's a sad camper, and I love that for my heroes.
He's a tortured soul. Wow, you really went in-depth on this one. Like, it couldn't just be that he's mad they killed his mom and he wants revenge.
Well,
it's just
think
like,
it's...
No, but what he really hates is himself.
Well, he does!
No, Kim, he hates vampires, and he hates that part of himself is a vampire. It's not that he hates himself. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It is what makes him such an interesting character. I don't know that they do too much talking about it, but like, where does that place him on the food chain of, or on like the class structure of the vampires? Because he is born a vampire. He is more pure blood than Frost. I think that's what makes him sort of the central figure at the end of the movie. Like, they need, like, to complete this ritual in order to bring about the blood god, they need the Daywalker. And, like, the Daywalker is, like, half human, half vampire. Like, he is pure blood by definition, but is more human than vampire. That's partly his own doing, though, right? Because like, he's taking the serum every day to stop becoming who he... Man, this is just Hellboy. Like, of course Guillermo del Toro loved this.
I think the serum just prevents him from drinking human blood, because it looks like when he did drink human blood, it didn't tip him more into the vampire scale. Like, I think he is what he is. So what happened was, he wasn't born a vampire because like his mommy was a vampire and his daddy was a vampire, and those vampires loved each other very much. That they had a little vampire baby.
Yeah.
The undead stork flew in, dropped a little fangy baby.
It's like a fucking Grim Reaper bird. And like, depending on what color the scythe is, that's how you know what the gender's gonna be.
Gender reveal.
Man, I just don't imagine it being like tender and romantic about vampires having babies. Like, I feel like it's like how it'd just be bad.
It just feels way too romantic for vampires to like fall in love and have babies.
Yeah.
So, but what happened was, his mom was a human. She was pregnant with a human child, and then she got bitten. And then while she was dying of the bite, or being, you know, turned into a vampire from the bite, and I guess that infection transferred to the womb. Mm-hmm. And I think the baby, because she was like so far along in the pregnancy, that the baby was born with like whatever the vampire enzymes were.
Yeah.
Enough that he was halfy-halfy.
Oh, so do you think that if she got bitten earlier in the pregnancy that he would be more vampire because the embryo wouldn't have been fully developed.
I just think the fact that maybe it's because we were like, okay, we have 10 seconds for a flashback. So
people aren't going to ask a lot of questions in 30 years. They aren't going to sit down and dedicate a whole hour to it.
I just think that it's because the baby was born right at the precipice of her dying.
Yeah.
That it was she was right on the edge of human to vampire. Mm. So that's why when he was born, he's right on the edge of vampire to human.
Yeah. It makes him an unstoppable killing machine, right? Because he's got all their powers. And with the serum, it, I think, is what stops him from having the bloodlust of vampires. Because the serum is effectively just garlic and hemoglobin or whatever.
It's just pizza juice.
Because it seems like there's a little bit of blood in there because that's what his body is craving, but it's also the pressed garlic juice that they're using to try and
they inject a lot of garlic willy nilly
so
in this
garlic,
and it's just can you?
And he's I'm gonna inject you with hematokawaga fucking finger finger, but otherwise known as garlic,
essence of garlic.
When you look at the vial, it just looks like garlic water. They're like, yep. That's going to flush that stuff right out.
I love that they're crosses don't work, but garlic in its purest form.
Every vampire movie tries to do this. What you think you know about vampires from the movies is totally wrong. Crosses do not work. Everything else does. silver works.
The silver was they're very big on silver in this, and I've been more of a werewolf loyalist with silver than a vampire to silver thing. I think silver as a cross, yes, but I think it's more because it's a cross and less because it's silver.
Mm.
Silver in itself, the silver pointed hollow bullets.
But it makes it so fucking cool.
Bullets in Underworld.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty
We all like that too. That was a great little development, and I'm pretty sure Blade is using more UV bullets and UV bombs in the next installments. But for him to be able to go into a nightclub or to go into a vampire university and just master
vampire university.
I was gonna say church, but I'm like, I don't know what they're really doing here. I guess it's a corporation. He's going in.
Well, I guess they have to have vampire universities. They have to have a whole Hogwarts scenario if they're birthing vampires.
What an insufferable group of children to try and teach.
Yeah, they would be little bitches because they're all so fucking cool.
That's the problem, is that they all look like Brad Dourif in 1998. They're just flipping their hair to the side ugh, come on, teach. We just want to go drain humans.
We just want to learn the prophecy, read the ancient texts.
Okay, but yeah, you're right. Steven Dorff.
I don't know.
Who's Brad? No, Brad Dourif is Chucky. Steven Dorff is the bad guy in this movie. He is the perfect age for this movie because he should be a little shit.
He looks like a cool, young, hip vampire.
But he does also look tough, formidable, very pale.
That's the sunblock.
Wear fucking sunblock in this movie. I don't understand why they're we must harness the Daywalker's powers and gain his knowledge and blood. It's it seems like you got a good thing going with this sunscreen.
I think they can only be out there 20 minutes at a time. Us regular pale people.
Not so... So they can put on enough sunscreen to go to the bank. It's fine. That's really all they need to do. Because they have to interact with the human world. We didn't even talk about the fact that the humans know that vampires exist.
Only the elite.
Only the elite know that this is a real 1998 movie. We're worried about tech and what it can do. And we're worried about these fucking 20-year-old billionaires. And also the elite. They know everything.
We're still worried about that now. Aren't they all lizards?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've moved beyond vampires. We're back on lizards. Okay, well, anyway, Steven Dorff, great villain in this movie. I think he's awesome. Knockout performance from Steve Dorff in this movie.
I was very surprised when he was lead villain and they just they killed Udo Kier at minute 25,
right?
And you're like, hang on a minute.
That's how you know he means business. Udo Kier is the kind of guy you keep around. He's not the kind of person you bring out to the beach for a nice death. Every time they kill a vampire with the sun, especially when it's not in just a cage, like a walled off room, like in Underworld 3, where they bring them out to the beach. It, like, killing somebody with, like, a nice, beautiful sunrise always seems less sinister than you would expect it to.
It's done for sad, poetic justice.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But that's how they kill them. They're able to watch it because they're wearing this sunscreen. It totally doesn't affect
and
them.
And they wear, like, cool biker masks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they they put the visors on. They're basically like vampire astronauts on the planet Earth, but it's just biker gear. And he's going to become the blood god. Like, he's going to be possessed by this new blood god. He even sacrifices all of the elites in the process of doing it. He arranges them in some runes.
I love this movie, but this prophecy shit is nonsense.
It's the only... honestly, it's one of the... I'm not even done my sentence. I'm already backtracking. I was going to say it's
fuck
one of the...
this prophecy.
It's one of the only sequences in the movie that doesn't have good special effects. But all of the bubbling blood stuff where people explode like a hot pocket that's put in the microwave for just like 10 seconds too long. That stuff looks a little silly. But anytime where Blade kills somebody with a silver bullet or his silver sword, and they just disintegrate, like they burn up like a piece of paper that's been like pulled out of the fire, looks awesome.
Oh yeah, I have no qualms with the special effects. I love everything. And even in the fucking ceremony when the pure blood vampires turn into weird skeleton gargoyles and fly away.
Hell yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah, they are. I don't know what this means, but yep.
Looks great. Yeah. These movies are all about rituals. I don't know why. Like, we got to call on some ancient god.
We just introduce it so late. Frost is like hanging out at the computer and Udo Kier's like, oh, quit that. We're never going to read the text.
You shouldn't be
here. And then
here.
He's like, translate it!
Yeah, it's a dead language. No one's ever going to figure it out.
Chris Christopherson knows it.
But they haven't harnessed the power of tech. Like, that's what it is.
And he's like, oh, I figured it out. I need 12 random purebloods that don't mean anything in 12 specific spots. And then I need the Daywalker, which conveniently we got one.
I don't understand.
And then I'm
going to
become the blood god.
Yeah.
Because the blood god's going to bestow me blood love?
Blood love?
Yeah.
No, he's just going to take new form on this earth. Like, the blood god exists. The blood god is out there. He is...
Well, what's he doing now?
What's God
doing?
What
was he doing before the ceremony?
What's the Christian God doing right now?
I also love the part, too, where we finally get to that last set piece, and he's like, oh, yeah, we forgot this existed, but it's here and only for this reason. He's just like, well, how did you find it?
Okay, but it leads to such a great fight with Steven Dorff, where Blade has just gone through.
But is he still Frost, or is he the Blood God, or is he both? Or is, like, the Blood God giving him gifts, or...
I think he has become the human form of the blood god. Like, you gotta try and think of it like a Holy Trinity kind of
situation. Apparently in the original cut, the end of the movie, after he gets, like, bestowed blood godiness, he is just a big bloody form. He's not human anymore.
Oh, yeah?
And the entire end sequence is, like, him in a poorly rendered, like, bloody goo moment.
Love it.
And it did not test well.
Okay.
So they were like, let's backtrack and have a sword fight.
You gotta love the ambition, though, to be like, okay, well, what is the vampire god like? We're like, he's just blood. Like, that's all he is.
You're like, okay, David Lynch.
So, I mean, the final fight sequence that we see now is great. Like, there's a Blade cuts his arm off, and then he's like, ha-ha, motherfucker, and then chops him in half. And he's about to walk away.
Oh, it's
like,
so good.
Here we go. We're done. And Steven Dorff sort of, like, explodes. Like, he's been cut in half, and then, like, the blood fuses him back together, and he's ready to fight again. Great. Love that fucking moment.
Yeah, and he mistakes, like, the exploding blood juice that the hematologist... Why did I say it like that?
Hematologist.
Now I don't know the right way to say it. The hematologist, there we go.
Yeah.
Discovered when she was trying to find a cure because she's been hanging around for a while.
Very convenient person to get bitten by a vampire,
I know,
right?
Like, oh, she's a hematologist. Maybe she could help us.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we need her
around. She does.
She helps develop the weapon that we use to explode.
She cures herself, not Blade, yeah. And develops the burnt hot pocket disease.
Yes, yeah. These new little syringes that make people explode, and you know, one's not enough to stop the blood god, but once we inject Frost with, like, enough of them, he becomes that giant. This is probably exactly what he looked like, right? They're like, oh, this is easy. We've already got this all mapped out. We just turn him back into, like, the bloody giant mass that nobody seemed to like anymore, and then we have him explode across the walls. It's a good look. It's a good look, man. I love I love a good fight sequence. And there's so much good fighting in this movie.
I think I said this at the top of the show, how surprised I was. Like, I knew this was an action horror film.
Yeah.
I just did not know that I should have been ready for, like, John Wick level of action.
Right?
Like, we've got fucking sword fighting sequences, there's gun fighting sequences, there's motorcycle fighting sequences, and then also the fucking set pieces are great.
Yeah.
We are literally in GoldenEye in the fucking tomb fighting in the sand, and we're in all of these different unique spots, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, every single one of them great. Yeah, like incredible sets and incredible kicks. Like,
you know, so many feet.
Wesley Snipes can kick. Like, we all know that. We've all learned that.
And he's just like so good at spinning and twisting and yeah, like deking and stuff. When he's fighting eight people at a time, it's so smooth, and you don't have that, you know, one guy steps forward and everybody else stands in a circle and just waits.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's a bad breakdance fight. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Like there's a really good choreography to it. And it's very natural. And you can also tell, too, that it's, you know how sometimes because you have to be at a certain angle to hide the fact that you're not actually making contact with another person.
Yeah.
That some fights have a stiffness to them because you have to, like, dance to your mark, hit there, dance to another mark, hit there, so that the camera's always in the right spot. Everybody fighting has such a good skill and, like, body control, mm-hmm, that it feels smooth.
Yeah. Like that's one of the reasons I think this movie has lasted. It was ahead of its time in 1998, and like so many movies now are similar to it, but it was like in a different league when it came out, and the fight sequences still look good, and I think that's what has made it last. Like, we've, you know, movies like The Raid and The Raid 2 have come out since, and like people are so fast now. Like,
oh, so fast.
People kick and punch so fucking fast, but Blade still looks great. You know, like, in a way that you don't watch chase sequences, like car chase sequences from the 60s and 70s now, and your mind is blown. You're like, okay, I mean, it's impressive that they did this with real cars and real people on real streets, but other than that, they're driving really slow. Like, now with Fast and the Furious, everything is going 500 miles an hour, but Blade still fucking holds up. Like, these fights are great.
Yeah, if you didn't have the EDM, the spiky hairstyles, and the, like, really CGI-looking CGI...
If you didn't have everything that made this movie look good...
No, you wouldn't be able to tell when it was made.
Oh,
like,
no.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks like a movie you'd watch now.
I was just very surprised at the caliber. I was expecting it to be a lot cheesier than it was.
Yeah.
And it delivered on that cheese front. Like, when we saw The Historian and it was just like this big, giant, huge vampire named Pearl who was like, don't hit me with that UV light, I don't like it. Yeah. I was just like, here it is. It's here.
It's got some of it, yeah.
Yeah. But I was expecting the fight sequences to be that cheesy.
No, they're deadly serious when it comes to the fight sequences. Yeah. Yeah, no, this movie's great. I'm glad you really liked it because...
I liked it way more than I thought I would.
Happy to hear that.
The prophecy, garbage. But everything else about it was great.
What'd you think of Blade 2? Like, just like really quickly while we're here. Because I was going back and forth for a long time trying to figure out which one I thought you would like more. And, like, you could get away not watching Blade 1 and watch Blade 2, but I thought it was great to watch them both back to back.
I did like watching them both sequentially. I mean, I love the vampire design, and I love that we do, like, an autopsy of evolved vampire. It's very fucking cool. It's a great design.
Vampires that eat vampires.
That entire aspect of the movie is so good. I love that there's the vampire upon vampire element.
And it's even more Shakespearean this time around, right?
But it just, like... I don't know,
the
vampire gang that he's got to work with to kill
Ron
the vampire
Perlman.
Vampires, and Ron Perlman with his weird, like, chin strap that goes all the way around his head.
Oh, I hate that fucking little band of hair. Like, why does he have that?
Yeah, like, and then, I don't know, and they just, like, they retcon a lot of stuff from this movie. They do it to bring Kris Kristofferson back, which I get.
Yeah, you can't be upset about that.
I get it. We need him. He's here. But I think just in terms of, like, if I was to pick quality-wise, I think the first one is better.
I think the first one is a better made
movie.
I
do love, though, that all of the fighting in the second one is, like, wrestling camp.
Yes! He actually suplexes a guy.
There's a lot of, like, mat moves.
Yeah, there's literally a scene where the vampire, like, jumps off the turnbuckle and, like, elbow drops him in the finale.
Yeah, and you're like... did they agree that this was the style of fighting? Because the very the first one is very like samurai. It's got a very like Asian flair to it, and not just because Blade is using like the long sword, but the second one is very like, oh, we're doing down home American wrestling.
Yeah. Oh man, I love it so much. The other thing too is like it really does pick up where the first movie left off, and like, what a great final image in Blade One.
Okay, this movie ending in Moscow, I was just...
Yeah, we're in fucking Moscow, we're hunting new vampires, we're outside a club, and he's like, let's go, motherfucker, I'm ready to fight in the snow.
And he fucking calls him comrade. I was like, yes! Fuck yeah!
God damn it, I love Blade so much. I'm glad we finally did it on the podcast. I think both of these movies are a 4 out of 4 for me. In terms of the fun level, if I'm giving it like the boring critic score where I gotta like talk about how I didn't necessarily love the like the lore and
I just didn't understand. It just didn't feel monumental, and it felt like they were playing fast and loose. Normally when you have to fulfill a prophecy, like every single cog has to be particular. They just like kidnapped the purebloods and they're like, stand here on this square.
Yeah.
And then you stand on that square. Like, it just didn't feel very specific in nature.
There wasn't like a deliberate plan. Like, you didn't know what they were doing, like you didn't know what they were working
toward. And then when they became those gargoyle things, like I was like, fuck yeah, this looks cool.
Oh, I know.
But
it looks
I was
great.
Like, is this a good for the sacrifice? Yeah,
that's
the problem.
You don't know if things are going well at that point, right? Yeah. And like, they're all swimming in and out of him, like they're ghosts. They're
like,
going,
are they attacking him? Or like, I didn't understand.
No idea. Yeah.
I did not understand.
It's stuff like that makes it like the actual rating for me like a 3.5 out of 4, but like, goddamn, what a good time. Like, it's a rock solid 3.5 out of 4 for me.
Yeah, I would say 3.5 out of 4 as well. Like, yeah. I had such a fucking blast watching this.
I'm so glad you liked these movies, because that would have broken my heart. Because you weren't as nuts about Demolition Man as I really thought you would be. So I was like, oh, maybe she's just like, she doesn't like Wesley Snipes' unique brand of insanity. But like, now that I know you love Blade, I just got to find you the right Wesley Snipes movie.
I think I was more into like the branding of Demolition Man than the action of Demolition Man.
Yeah. Demolition Man's a kooky one. But that's just what we thought of Blade. Let us know what you thought of this action horror epic from the 1990s. And what some of your favorite sunglasses at night vampires are over in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. And if you can catch us anywhere on social media, feel free to give us a follow and let us know what your favorite vamps are.
I'm sure you can guess what we're going to be talking about next. It's a pretty iconic modern vampire horror movie.
Yeah, I think if there's two GIFs of vampires wearing sunglasses on the internet, it's Blade and next week's movie.
But we'll be back again with that, so make sure you're subscribed to catch it in your feed when it drops. Until then, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.